Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
This isn't yelling. When I yell, you'll know it.
You know, we try to instill all the good things in them, have morals, and to be something.
Go pick up your booty or you're going to get a timeout, mister.
No!
That's it! Take Jake upstairs and give him some Ritalin.
What are you doing in my room? I locked the door. Get out!
One day they're babies. The next thing you know, they're off on their own.
I'm Jim Burns. God has created each of us with a number of healthy spiritual, emotional, and physical appetites. Trouble is, sometimes we human beings want to enjoy too much of a good thing, and the very desires God has designed for our good wind up becoming unhealthy addictions instead. Well, during the next half hour, I've invited my very good friend Steve Arterburn of the radio program New Life Live and best-selling author to join me for a discussion about this topic. So let's talk about how we can teach our kids to develop healthy appetites and how we can benefit from doing the same ourselves. I'm Jim Burns, and you're listening to Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and today on the program, we're going to dig back in the archives, one of our best ofs, an interview that Jim recorded a couple of years ago with Steve Arterburn, and we're going to talk about feeding your kids' desires, whether they are physical appetite, eating too much food, or kind of overindulging in games or any other activities that might be healthy in moderation, but if you get too much of them, they can be unhealthy. We're going to talk about feeding your kids' desires today. First, though, I want to thank you for your prayers and faithful financial support of the Ministry of Homeward. And remember, you can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. And now here's Jim.
If you're a parent, you need to know something about the world that your children are inheriting. The fact is, while the world may be getting smaller, the people who live on it are getting bigger. What I mean by that is this. Nearly 20% of all American children are considered overweight or obese. Now, that's an amazing statistic, which is why I want to devote the next couple of programs here on Homeward to discussing the issue of unhealthy appetites and childhood obesity. Today and tomorrow, we're going to hear a recording of a conversation I had not too long ago with my good friend Steve Arterburn. He recently wrote a book on this topic called Feeding Your Appetites, Taking Control of What's Controlling You. And here now is part one of that conversation. Steve Arterburn is with us today. He's my very good friend. He's the founder and chairman of New Life Ministries, host of the nationally syndicated radio program New Life Live, which, by the way, if you've never heard New Life Live, you probably have. It is a great program. He's the founder of Women of Faith Conferences, the author of more than 40 books, including the incredibly popular Every Man's Battle series just this week. 4 books in the top 20 in the Christian bestseller list. Really, Steve is a major influence in the Christian world, and Steve, it is a delight to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you. I always told you you were made for radio, and I hear so many good things about your program with other station managers who want to replace our show with yours. And it really is neat to see what you're doing, and it's using the giftedness that God has given you and using it in a great way. And I just want to congratulate you and encourage the people that listen to you to support you. A lot of people probably listen and they haven't put two and two together. Oh, I have to support this if it's going to stay on the air. But I hope that they will do that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And as you know, you have been such a help and an inspiration to this. Now that we've kind of traded attaboys, yeah. I want to talk about feeding your appetites. It's a new book of yours, Take Control of What's Controlling You. It seems, as I've read most of your books, so many times I see that a lot of times you talk about the fact that, you know, we need to make better choices with our life. And it seems there's a little bit of this in here, that we've got to make some right and wise choices. How do you make good choices in your own life?
Well, let me talk to you about 3 choices that people make when they change. And I've never met an alcoholic who didn't make these 3 choices who got well. And I've never met a person who overcame their eating problem unless they made these 3 choices, or gambling or successaholic or whatever it is. These are 3 choices that you can make. And they're not easy. Here's number 1, surrender. The choice to surrender. You know, I was telling a guy on our radio program who was the new parent of an 11-year-old kid that still thought he was running the household. And he was saying to this little boy, you shouldn't do this and all these kinds of things. And I said, you know what? You do not have the power you're not strong enough to change that little boy. I said, if James Dobson was his parent, he's not strong enough to change that little boy. A lot of times we do this stuff under our own efforts, and we think that this sick mind that got me in trouble is going to be the sick mind that gets me out of trouble. And it's not. We try all these different things under our own power, our own strength. And then one day, when you finally are finished with humiliation, stagnation, any other Asian that you could possibly have, Jim, you say to yourself, okay, God, I'm going to let you help me.
And yet it's really hard to do that. It seems like we put that off and we put that off. Why do we do that?
Well, because we're comfortable in what we do. We get these patterns set and we continue to do them, and we think that finally we'll get it right. And there's something very, very vulnerable about finally surrendering all of our life to God. But it really is what the change process is about. When it's lasting, it is surrender. Doesn't mean that you then quit doing things, but it means that you turn your life over to God, you admit you can't change it, and that God can, and you're going to let Him. That's all part of surrender. Now, the second decision is the decision to seek humility. And either we humiliate ourselves or we choose to be humble. And it's in that humility that we can start to see who we really are, the things that we're doing. And every time I meet with an alcoholic or a drug addict who's really in recovery, I'm overwhelmed by the humility that they have. Now, really what it is because they've surrendered, they more accurately see their life in perspective to all of life, to God, and things like that. They stop thinking that things have happened in their life because of them, and they kind of start thinking that things have happened in spite of them.
You know, it seems that humility and surrender kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And sometimes when something negative happens, we're either going to blame somebody else or we begin to take it on and say, wait, I do need help. And what I am thinking you're saying is that really you've got to blend this together. You can't really surrender without being humble. You can't really be humble without surrender.
And the third piece of that is this third choice, and you can't do either or any of all, whatever, without this other piece, and that is the choice to be willing. A willing heart, willing to look at yourself, willing to make changes, willing to seek help, and a willingness to see the full reality of your situation. So many times people are looking at what was wrong or right in a situation, and rather than try to connect with that other person, they're staking out their territory. But willingness is, hey, what's my responsibility? Well, if you're willing and humble and surrendered, you're going to find that God can come into your life and start to fulfill your life, start to meet some of your needs. And then when that happens and you experience this peace and you experience a contentment that you haven't had before, food doesn't have to do so much anymore.
Now, you're talking about alcohol, you're talking about food, and right. In your book, Feeding Your Appetites, you actually have 8 different appetites, if I'm not mistaken. What are some of those appetites?
Well, they're all mentioned in the first book of Genesis. If you look at the story of Adam and Eve, you know, there were things laid out that were good things. You know, even the appetite for success, you know, they were told to really learn to be dominant over the land there, to learn to be in control of their environment there in the garden. So there was an appetite for wisdom, got them in trouble. But that's a great appetite.
So you're saying that these appetites can be good or bad, or they can be, what makes an appetite something from that was good? Wisdom is great, but then it turns it into something that's negative.
Well, let's take wisdom. In their case, of course, it was they wanted to know and they wanted wisdom, but then they were unwilling to stay within the guidelines of where God told them to be, to get their knowledge from Him. But you know, some people, they aren't studying the Scripture and they're not memorizing Scripture to help others, they're actually developing that wisdom to use it to harm other people. Yeah. They want to be a big shot, or they want to have control over people, and they'll find a verse, oh, I can use that, and I can control my church that way or my family that way. But all of the appetites, the appetite for intimacy and connection, the appetite for to be with God, the appetite for food and things like that, they're all there, and they're all good things. They motivate us to do things. They motivate us to come together, to connect, to grow, and to experience intimacy, to experience the good things of life. When we don't fix our brokenness, then one of these appetites will be used to compensate for the brokenness. It's the principle that I talk about in the book, that when we start to connect with God and realign our relationship with God, food, money, sex, gambling, alcohol, all of that doesn't have to do so much for us anymore. It doesn't have to become a compensator for the things that we're lacking in our lives.
Well, it's a great reminder. From Steve Arterburn here on the Homeward Broadcast today, we're talking about feeding your kids' desires and listening to an interview that Jim recorded a few years ago with Steve and listening to his conversation with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. If you have kids who are venturing into the obsessive-compulsive area, especially when it comes to food or possibly other chemical addictions, we encourage you to stay with us through the break. More of this good conversation. And better yet, why not get a copy of the audio CD? That way you'll have a ready reference. You can pop it in the CD player in the car if you still have one. And if you like to listen to it on the road. To get your copy of the CD of today's program, write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry. We'll thank you for that donation by sending you a copy of the disc of today's program. More to come.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Lose 25 pounds in just 3 days.
The all-natural doctor-recommended gravel diet will help you grind the pounds away while you sleep.
Eat all the fat your arteries can handle and still lose weight.
Money-back guarantee if you don't lose 100 pounds or more on the all-new Miracle Kelp Clean-Out Diet.
I'm so fat. One of those has to work for me. Mom, I need your credit card.
Two things are happening in the culture that should be alarming to parents. The first is the increasing number of kids struggling with childhood obesity. The second is the number of teenagers who are starving themselves to death. If your child is severely overweight, never let your son or your daughter go on a diet unless it's under doctor supervision. There are just too many get-thin-quick diets that are dangerous for young people. Eating disorders are a lot more common than you might think among today's young people. For my free tip sheet called Helping an Overweight Child, go to homeward.com. Today we're talking with Steve Arterburn. We're talking about feeding your appetites, taking control of what's controlling you. And again, we've been talking about the core issues. The appetites are the things that we would think would be the appetites. Alcohol, success, love, money, power, all these different types of things. And yet the core issues go right back to the scripture in terms of surrender, humility, and the rest. Steve, I know your story. And when you were younger, you were a little bit heavy. And you've kind of conquered this whole appetite for food stuff. What helped you do that?
I really did feel inadequate, and I had a lot of problems. And it relates to one of the cures, quote-unquote, of feeding our appetites, and that is this. We need to all, if we're struggling with an appetite in any area, ask ourselves, in what state of mind is my appetite under control and not controlling me? Okay, so if you think about that, certainly a state of mind of contentment and a state of mind of peace. And so when we deal with our anxieties and our worries, things like that from our past, then we can experience that and our appetite's under control. Well, there's another state that most people would relate to that is a place where they're not hungry for something else, and that is in a true state of grief. When you're grieving the loss of your father, if you're truly grieving it, you don't need to have a drink. Hmm. And you don't need to have food, and you don't need to go gamble. You are in the midst of a pain that is deeper maybe than any other pain, but there's something almost holy about that pain, and it cleanses you, and you find that you're not in need of something outside of yourself. There are so many ungrieved losses that are fueling the appetites of so many people. And until you go back and grieve the ungrieved losses and deal with the disappointments in your life, they're always going to be begging for you to feed them. So you go through some pain, but really the grieving process is the healing process of your future. It's experiencing pain now so you don't ever have to experience it again. There are very few people that think about, what do I need to do to heal my future? Well, this is one of them. Now, the difficulty is that a lot of times we think, oh, if I just did that, if I finally went back and I dealt with my grandmother or the way my mother treated me, then I'd be okay. That is not true. We all want to simplify things and reduce it down to one thing. But when appetites need to be controlled, there are many things that we need to do. One of the things that we need to do, no matter whether our problem is sex, drugs, alcohol, is we need to exercise our bodies. That is one of the healthiest things you can do for your brain chemistry that produces a sense of satisfaction where you have less cravings and removes anxiety and actually lifts depression.
How does a normal appetite become a full-blown addiction?
Well, the mark of addiction, of course, is if we decide that we're not going to do something, we are immediately drawn more to it. That's a sign of addiction. There's a withdrawal there. Or if we continue to do something in the midst of adverse consequences, well, that'd be a sign that we're addicted to this, you know, that nothing is bad enough for us. And if we also find that the amount we used to do it doesn't produce the same results, in fact, it produces less results than it did before, even doing more of it produces less results, then those are marks of addiction. And the way that I believe that these appetites become addictions is that we find a favorite way of either comforting ourselves or lifting ourselves and experiencing some kind of rush beyond the normal emotion that we're experiencing. We find that way, we become adapted to it, we become dependent on it, and then our brain chemistry is what addicts us. You don't have to inject yourself with a drug from outside your body to get addicted. The drug's inside your body. The neuroreceptors addict you. You get hooked on it. And until you deal with it as a full-blown addiction, you're probably not going to have victory over it.
We're talking with Steve Ardburn today, feeding your appetites, taking control of what's controlling you. Steve, what is that keeps us wanting more, yeah, even in a good thing?
Well, you know, I think there's something good and something not so good about it. One of the studies that I looked at said that most people view enough as about 25% more. Then, you know, more 25% more money, yeah, you know, whatever it is. And then once you get that, of course, then you view enough as about 25% more. The good of this is that within some people, there is a motivation to achieve more and to do more good. But of course, the negative is that if we're putting all of our feelings of worth and fulfillment in the achievement of that goal, we are in trouble. There are some amazing talents that are addicted to drugs in sick relationships, maybe the finest singers in the world. I could name you one right now and you'd go, oh, exactly. But I believe they are in big trouble because they put everything into the success basket of their life. They have an appetite to succeed. Then once they get what they thought they wanted, and it is so empty, they are more miserable than the person who's still believing it could all come together. So the more you achieve, the higher your standard, the more your misery, because you discover, you know what, no matter how successful I am still me. Yeah. And I have to work on me so that I can experience contentment at any level, wherever I end up.
And you're describing somebody who's, you know, going from one thing to another and out of control behavior that they may not even see it as. But it tends to be those people also struggle with intimacy like crazy.
Well, our direction for people struggling with appetites is always back to connection. Connection with God and connection to other people. And you may not have been raised in a home where connection was modeled, and you may think that the Lone Ranger is the way Jesus intended you to live, but it is not. And we really believe that as we connect with others and with God in intimacy, we have less need for things outside of ourselves to fulfill us.
We're talking with Steven Arterburn, feeding your appetites, take control of what's controlling you. As we conclude, I really want you to leave us with a couple of practical steps on how to practically manage our appetites.
Well, the first thing I would say is develop this willingness to look at what you're doing. Many of us are involved in very admirable things, but our appetites are out of control because we want too much of those admirable things, whether or not it's making a difference in people's lives or writing or speaking, whatever. But be willing to look at that. And I don't know of any way for us to see the blind spots we have other than have some seeing eye dogs alongside of us, some good counsel, some men or women, hopefully of the same sex there, that's coming alongside of you and saying to you, you know, I wonder if you ought to look at this, or I wonder if that's something that you could be concerned about. We need people in our lives to say, here is some area that may be a struggle for you. Or when you say something that's kind of minimizing of your problem, oh, well, you know, I'll take care of that or whatever, someone that would say, you know what, I really am concerned about your health because of how much you weigh, or I'm concerned about your drinking because it's just so much, or you're never home with your family. You need those people in your lives. So if you're disconnected, you are perfectly set up to keep your appetite fueling the sickness in your life. When you connect, hopefully you can disconnect from that very, very pathological path you're on and experience some of the fulfillment that God would want you to experience in your life.
It's great insight, as always, from Steve Arterburn here on the Homeward Broadcast. He's been in conversation with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns today. We've been talking about feeding your kids' desires, and actually this is a program that we recorded a couple of years ago. So we're now back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, having a conversation about something that is very, very important for us as parents. When you go to homeward.com, if you're not there already, you'll find a number of materials designed to help you do a better job with your kids of this area in particular. And Jim, I know we hear from a lot of parents who are saying, you know, this is something that we need to work on, and yet, gosh, how do we do this? What's a good way for us to kind of set the tone for our kids? And I know you talk about being that example first before we start lecturing our kids.
You know, so many times when we really want to teach our kids something, we have to learn that first for ourselves. In fact, because our kids are watching us to see how we cope with the stressful parts of life, and they notice that. For example, when a dad gets uptight and he just starts working out too much or eating chocolate or whatever it may be, or when mom's under pressure and she turns into that neat freak or the control freak. Well, when a healthy activity turns unhealthy for your kids, it's up to you as the parent to intervene. And as we wrap up today's edition of Homeward, I want to leave you with three tips and a tool you can use to help your child when they're in a situation like that. Now, interestingly enough, these tips were originally created for people dealing with eating disorders, but they really apply to every aspect of when a healthy activity becomes unhealthy. So here we go. First tip, if your son or your daughter is unable to control their involvement in an activity, for example, if they're unable to control how much they eat, or they're constantly going to the gym, or they can never do too much homework, well, that's a classic symptom that a healthy desire is becoming an unhealthy addiction. Second tip, if your son or daughter engages in an activity even when they don't need to, for example, the successaholic is always looking for ways to get an edge on the competition, to improve himself, he never lets up. Well, that's a fine line between being driven to succeed and being obsessed with success. If your child is leaning more toward the latter than the former, well, then I think it's time for you to step in, mom and dad. Third tip, if at any time a normal, healthy activity leaves your child feeling depressed or sad, well, that's a red flag. A good example of this would be the child who studies all night for a tough exam, brings home a B+ on it, and then stays up all the next night because she just didn't feel her efforts were good enough. Kids are naturally tough on themselves, so help your child to see the reality of the situation and remember to give him or her permission not to be perfect. Now, when it comes to kids, one of the major areas where you see a healthy appetite turn into an addiction is food. That's why I want you to have a free copy of an article I recently wrote called Information on Eating Disorders, and it outlines 7 warning signs to look for. And remember that an eating disorder is obsessive eating, too much eating, as well as not eating enough.
Good point. Great distinction to make, Jim. And when our listeners go to homeward.com and hit the articles and media section, then you can do the keyword search in there and come up with the information you need to get that article on information on eating disorders, because that's so important. And Jim, another tip sheet, speaking of free tip sheets today, is one that has to deal with a topic that's something that we parents kind of dance around with our kids, but we don't necessarily talk directly with them. I'm talking about the S word, stewardship and money. And our friends at Steadfast Companies have put together a new resource for us that's very, very important for us as parents, as well as for our kids.
Well, Roger, not too long ago, I was speaking to a group of several hundred kids on the subject of stewardship of all things. It's not the subject they usually want to talk about. But I asked them, do you really know what the word stewardship means? And one kid even said, yeah, it's when your dad gives you $50. Not exactly what stewardship is all about. But obviously, there's a lot more to stewardship than just giving over money to your kids. And I'm concerned that we parents could do a much better job of talking to our kids about money and about saving, spending, giving, and even investing. That's why I am so glad that our good friends at Steadfast Companies have partnered with us in creating this new set of tip sheets on stewardship. They're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for our kids to understand, and they also include some practical tips that your whole family can use to start looking at issues like giving and saving and investing from a more eternal perspective.
Well, our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, have partnered with us to make these materials available absolutely free. Go to homeward.com, keyword steadfast, and what you'll then see is the articles and media link that comes up. Hit the two tip sheets section, and there's two of them right there, and more to follow. They're absolutely free at homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.